Hello and good evening. Welcome to another episode of Between the Presets, a podcast by me, Rudy Stettner, that comes out every Monday evening. Here is the place where anything that can be said in polite company is fair game for discussion, even if it occasionally offends. Let's roll. Hello, it is Monday evening, the 8th of Nisan, 5784, that being the 15th of April, 2024. The week before Passover, Pesach, always a time of feverish preparations of the house, going over the ingredients of foods that one has in one's house, or the kosher supervision. A lot of stuff that's, kosher the whole year round. Passover? Not necessarily. Not just bread and noodles and cake, but a whole bunch of other products kind of go off the board. I enjoy it because, I eat, I guess, a lot of frivolous foods that linger at my waistline for much more time than I would like. And getting back to matzah, fish, meat, potatoes, and, pretty basic stuff, a minimum of prepared foods. I think it does me good. I'm at that age when I throw things overboard because staying alive longer means more than the transient pleasures of, say, chocolate and beer and stuff like that. It's kind of nice. When I'm giving up something to stay alive longer, it's, an expression of love for those around me. That makes me feel good. A long-standing family friend came to visit us. This guy was a college professor and a lifelong Democrat. It was refreshing speaking with him. I've had family members who, cut off, thank God not immediate family, who cut off contact with me when they found out my subversive political views. But this guy maintains contact. Yes, he votes for Democrats. I tend to vote for Republicans. But we both believe in not fracturing personal friendships for political beliefs. This guy who has spent most of his life in academia is horrified at the, saddened really, at the attacks on free speech that have become so prevalent in academia. Even though he is in the liberal arts, he has, contacts in the STEM sciences, and there are even attacks being waged on freedom of speech in the STEM sciences. People who are studying the various subjects leading up to a medical degree, if they make certain statements that gender, the sex of a human being or an animal is hardwired, and it's not like a state of mind or a feeling, they can get canceled, denied tenure, harassed out of their job. And this guy's family came here from a communist country, so for him to see the stench of totalitarianism following him from his parents' place of birth is absolutely chilling. And across political lines, we were able to share our belief in the necessity of the free flow of ideas. I have had the experience on Facebook of having pleasant conversations with people who are far to the left of me, but we had overlapping common interests and maintained a cordiality and an exchange of ideas. Mark Zuckerberg and his flunkies decided that such things could not be. My Facebook account was shut down. So all the contacts I had with these people who I would never have encountered in my personal life, shut off. And it seems that that's what a lot of the social media, a lot of the political spectrum seems to be intent on: us demonizing each other, drawing up battle lines instead of creating avenues of discussion. And it's very sad. I, to the greatest extent possible, refuse to go along with that. I have a deep empathy with people who have come to the United States from places that have totalitarian rule. I also relate to people who've been in countries with civil war, where the country broke up violently. The former Yugoslavia, Greece had a civil war in 1948. Spain had a civil war from 1936 to 1939. And people who realized the high cost in blood and goodwill of breaking up a country, those are people I can relate to. I personally do not work in academia, but I know people who work in, more than one person who works in a university, or in, say, the New York City public schools, and they have to be quiet about what they believe. When I refer to them, I am careful to expunge any identifying details just to protect them. And that is what it has come to in this country. I have noticed that communism tends to lay a stress on class warfare and the various forms of right-wing nationalism, such as National Socialism from Germany and other forms of right-wing totalitarianism, tend to lay stress on nationality and demonizing the other, not so much by class, but by nationality. And very frequently, one can morph into the other. Somebody could start from the point of view of class warfare and end up attacking national groups and vice versa. One example of that was during World War II, when I think in the course of 2 or 3 days, Stalin deported the entire Tatar population from their homeland to various points around the Soviet Union. A lot of people died in transit. It was very traumatic for them. And of course, the Nazis absorbed a lot of communists. There were quite a few people who, when the Nazis came to power, went from leftist groups to making common cause with the Nazis. One of the things that the Nazis did was to shut down religious charities like Catholic or Protestant. so that the Nazis were the only ones giving out free stuff. And of course, if your refrigerator is empty, or your cupboards are empty, or your lights have been shut off, you are going to feel a great deal of debt of gratitude to whoever helps you out of that hole. And they want to be the only recipients of the gratitude of the poor. There is a saying that is attributed to Joseph Stalin, may his name be erased, that in order to win an election, it is not necessary to get the most votes, but merely to count the votes. I am very concerned in the upcoming election, or any elections in this country, that any of the measures taken to ensure the integrity of the vote are strenuously opposed, almost always by Democrats. Things such as purging the voter rolls of dead people, weeding out fraudulent registrations, and having a system of voter identification are angrily and disingenuously rejected with polarizing accusations of racism, suppressing the vote, etc. And it should be noted that when someone casts a fraudulent vote, that they are canceling out a vote that was legitimately cast. One ray of light in today's media landscape is the fact that the monopoly on the flow of information by the three major networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, and of course the galaxy of national public radio, public television, what have you, that monopoly has been shattered. It's possible for people to network and share information. I myself, the only time I listen to the major networks is if I'm reading about something idiotic and biased that they have, run as a story. I have the Epoch Times, the Gateway Pundit, Ben Shapiro. Thank God talk radio remains a bastion of free flow of information. The counterpoint to all this is the extent to which social media can just ban and censor news stories that are legitimate news stories that have been vetted and found to be true. Most notably, and this is old news, the Hunter laptop story. Facebook even made it impossible to share that story. It was heavily censored, and people really needed to, take back alleys in order to get this to network with the story. I think that the uniparty, that is to say the Democrat Party and a big chunk of the Republican Party that goes along to get along, are running scared with the new informational landscape. We need to realize the power we have. We need to push back. We should be stunned and outraged that people who demonstrated in the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, before the Biden administration took office, that some of these people are still awaiting trial. They've faced others have been heavily sentenced, and none of the rioters from Antifa, BLM, people who caused billions of dollars of worth of damage. None of them were tried. Our vice president even worked to raise bail money for violent demonstrators to get out of jail. And I think the intention of this harsh crackdown on that minor January 6th demonstration was to send a message to opponents of the Uniparty. Don't even think of exercising your right to demonstrate, that we will crush you. I'm looking at this sham of a trial going on in Manhattan, where President Trump is being tried for paying hush money, which is done all the time, basically misdemeanor charges. And I heard man on the street interviews with people talking about jury selection, and they were chuckling. These were people who really wanted to get Trump, and they said, "Do you think that people are actually gonna vote to acquit him? Look at the party registration." And people were very smirky about it. And as a New Yorker, I am ashamed to say that New York City has become a black hole of justice, where any light of justice, of a fair trial, is sucked in by political bias. We live in a city where violent crime has skyrocketed, and we have a turn-em-loose DA in Manhattan, Alvin Bragg, and he's too busy going after Trump for paying hush money to protect the citizens of this city. And some of the people he has let go have gone to other states and committed horrible violent crimes against people. It's one thing to promote your political ideology at the ballot box, whether you're a free market libertarian or a socialist or whatever. It's the American way to be able to declare your beliefs and urge the voters to support you at the ballot box. But to tie up a legitimately elected president in constant litigation all around the country for bogus charges, that is what's called lawfare. It's called perverting the justice system in order to suppress political discussion. And I remember how things were. I grew up in this country in a different time, and it seems that we are in the advanced stages of totalitarian takeover. Whatever your political ideology, from a libertarian point of view, this should concern one greatly. And for those of us who are apolitical, who don't care much about political debate, all of us buy appliances. If you want to buy an oven or a stove or a refrigerator or an air conditioner or a car, we are well into a state where it is perfectly okay for the government to tell us what kind of appliances we can and cannot manufacture or buy. Electric cars have turned out to be a disaster. The damage to the environment from them is unbelievable. Rare elements have to be strip mined in order to produce these electric car batteries. And not only that, if you're going to charge your electric car, you got to plug it into something. So what are you going to plug it into? You're going to plug it into the wall of your garage or a power charging station. And what's that produce? What is it that's producing the electricity that's going into your green-friendly car battery? Coal, crude oil. They've even had situations where they ask people not to rush the gas stations and charge their cars too much because it was creating an excessive load on the power grid. Of course, in order to vet these dumb ideas like electric cars, that requires free-spirited scientific and political discussion. But if you're going to scream at somebody that they're a climate denier and they dare not oppose the Green New Deal, then you're going to have a lot of expensive failures. So even if you don't care at all about politics, you might want to look at what goes into the appliances around your house, what goes into food production, what have you. Once you lose free speech, you lose everything else. Free speech and the free flow of ideas is the disinfectant that keeps toxic ideas and bad science from ruining our lives. So I wish you all a good week. This podcast was actually released a day late because I had a personal emergency and business to take care of. Thank God everything worked out. So you all have a good one. Passover, Pesach is coming up. Very much looking forward to that. This wraps up another weekly episode of Between the Presets. I thank you all for the pleasure of sharing with me my weekly muse. Whatever platform you access, hitting like, subscribe, or leaving a comment is much appreciated. My email address is thewinterriders@gmail.com. thewinterriders@gmail.com. Until next week, adio, which in some African languages means born on Monday or be righteous, and closely resembles adios in Spanish.